Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And we are joined, as we are every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, by our great friend, Madison Rafter, Executive Director of the Southfield County Humane Society. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Good. Good to hear. Very good to hear. Madison, I want to get to our Pet of the Week. I want to find out how things are going over at the Humane Society. But before we do, I got a good story for you.
Go for it.
I got a good story of the day that we're going to have later on, but why not do this when you're here?
All right.
I thought it'd be fun. Animal rescuers in New York said that they had to lift a 5,000-pound slab of concrete to rescue a kitten trapped 30 feet down a drain.
Whoa!
The Strong Island Animal Rescue League personnel worked together with police when a kitten was heard crying at the bottom of a drain covered by a large concrete slab near Port Jefferson Station on Long Island. The cat is now currently, because this was a couple days ago, the cat has already been adopted.
That's awesome.
Cool.
By one of the people that saved the animal.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Now, this is kind of, there's obviously a tie-in here with our humane societies and everything. But first off, I mean, a big tip of the hat to all those people that worked on that.
Yeah.
And what we are willing to do in society for our animals and to help our animals. That's one cat that they were willing to do all of that for to save that cat.
That's awesome.
It never gets old to me. Those stories never get old. And it's also never gets old to me how funny it is that almost I've read so many of these now that I almost know how they're going to end. Somebody adopts that animal from the people that rescued it.
Of course.
It's got to be difficult doing that. I mean, I know I joke about it all the time when you bring in these animals that I want to adopt every one of them. But you and your team, you guys, I mean, a lot of the time I imagine you really want to.
Yeah. I mean, I have my limitations, of course. I have 9 animals in my house. A lot of mine are my cage animals. So, of course, my tarantulas, my snakes, my tortoise. But I have my limitations of I know what I can handle as a pet owner. Is I want to make sure that my animals have all of the time and attention that they need. My chihuahuas, of course, hog all of my attention. They're dogs. They need to be out all the time. They need fed all the time. Where some of my caged animals only get fed once a week or once a month. So it's one of those things that I know my limitations on, like, what I can bring home personally, because trust me, if I could, I'd bring them all home. But I know I don't have a farm. I know I don't have a zoo. Well, I guess you could say I don't have a zoo, but it's a little line there.
A menagerie,
It's one of those things that, as much as I love those animals, being able to be in the adoption process of the counseling for people to find that animal a home that's going to have the time and attention for it compared to me. Like, yes, I know I could take care of it. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I know I have enough. I know I'm content with my animals. Let's find this animal a home that they're going to love it just as much as I would.
Mm. And it's such an important thing to keep in mind when we're bringing up these Pet of the Weeks and these animals. When you're helping our Humane Society or you're coming to an event or something, you always have to put the animal first.
Yep.
You really do. And I appreciate that you and your team do that over there. Mm-hmm. Who are we putting first today? Who are we putting under the spotlight today? Who is our Pet of the Week?
Pet of the Week this week is going to be Padfoot.
Padfoot
is a little 9-month-old kitten. He has been with us for months. Mm-hmm. He came into us when he was about 4 months old, and he got neutered, ready to go with all of his brothers. And the day that they got put up on the adoption floor, they all blew ringworm for positive. Ringworm, of course, is a 6 to 8 week treatment. So, of course, they got pulled into our back quarantine area, treated for ringworm, and they've been released for 2 months. His brothers both got adopted on the first day that they were made available, and Padfoot has just been sitting with us for a little while. We're not exactly sure what the reason is. We know he can be very timid with new people. Like, he just, for whatever reason, if it was just the quarantine period affected him or what it could have been, where he just, when he has a first interaction with you, he wants nothing to do with you. He wants to run out of that room. He does not want to socialize with you. And really, we talked about Wonton a couple of weeks ago, and Wonton's the little sphinx kitten, or not sphinx. Yeah. She's got no tail. She's got a little bobtail. Wonton, we talked about her a couple of weeks ago. She's also a very under-socialized kitten, and we've put the two of them together in the playroom, and they're the best of friends. They love each other. When they're both playing together, they love people then, and meeting new people is so much easier for them. So they have a little buddy system going on. So if one has a meet and greet, we put them both in the playroom, so that their confidence and personality can really flourish.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Amazing. Wow.
I know the dog that we adopted from my parents adopted from the Humane Society, Sam, when we first got him, Sam really didn't do much, and he really kept to himself, and it didn't seem like he was going to be a very sociable dog. And then a week went by, and like ever since then, that dog will follow you everywhere, and I mean everywhere. He is your shadow. He loves my mom and dad so much, and when new people come over, he's so excited to meet them. Maybe too excited sometimes, but he's excited. He's such a sociable dog, and it's to the point where I almost forget sometimes where he was in those first months, and oh, maybe first month or so. But not to say that every animal can do this, but so many animals. We don't get to see their real true personality, unfortunately, in a shelter situation. They're not able to flourish. They're not. You guys, and like many humane societies throughout our whole country, do amazing work when it comes to making these animals comfortable, happy, taken care of. But there's only so much that can be done.
Exactly. And it's one of those things, too, because we are not a home environment. We are a shelter environment. And that's a very scary thing for a lot of animals. And what we have learned is sometimes those animals attach themselves to a person, or sometimes it's another animal. And really their personality, if we can continue to help them grow, if it's just the aspect of, so prime example, Padfoot and Wonton, they are the best of friends. They are in separate kennels, but when we pull them out together for playtime, they just flourish. And being able to help them be comfortable with meet and greets, if that means they just need a buddy system for meet and greets, okay, let's do a buddy system. Yes, we would love them to get adapted together, but that's not something that we're requiring. But it's something that here, at least for the time being, while they're in our care, if they need a buddy system, we're going to give them a buddy system, and that's what they need to flourish. It's what they need. So
I think that while there are, I would say, more than not good humane societies, one of the things that stands out about ours and what you do over there, Madison, Beth did, I think, as well, is it's such, you do such a good job of a home environment in a situation where it's not a home necessarily, but I get that feeling. I was just there a while ago, and I walked in, and I was just it took me, because it's been a while since I've been in the back and all that, and it took me, like, just takes me back. It's like, geez, I forget sometimes that this is a shelter, because it's so, the environment, vibe there, the energy there, the smells, even everything. It's not your typical kind of shelter. You guys have done a really nice job there with that. I'm curious how you balance that too, where you have these animals and the whole goal is to get them to a forever home and a new family, but not every animal is going to be adopted. How you can give them a home without giving them a home, and walk and doing that balance there.
We try to do as much enrichment as possible for our animals. So that's one of the ways why we kind of try to alleviate stress. And then the other one is we are trying to be as flexible as we possibly can. We obviously have our protocols we need to follow with disease transmission and cleaning procedures and things like that. But we have to be very flexible in this job environment with the aspect of different animal behaviors coming through the door, different personalities, and how can we take an animal that comes in our door and support it the best way possible. A lot of our cats that are very stressed out or very large cats are not able to fit in a small kennel. So we have gazebos that we set up that works as a better availability for some of those cats, especially our longer length of stay cats, because if being a longer length of stay cat, being in a small kennel does not do well for them. So having at least a larger cage set up for them that they have more availability to move around, things like that. We also have employees that are very, very, very passionate about getting the cats out daily for enrichment, running around in the playroom, even if it's 5 minutes. She gets them out every day just so that they can run around in the playroom and stretch their legs, be a cat, learn how to do it that way. With our dogs, we take them out all the time. They go out between 4 to 5 times in a day. We run them out in the play yard. They get the ability to stretch their legs, walks with volunteers, just different time that we can work to help support the animals better.
We have a great event coming up where you can help support these animals and our friends at the Humane Society. The 5K9 Walk Run is coming up on September 23rd.
Yeah, our walk is coming up. We are super excited for it. We are still allowing registrations up until the date of the event. So if it is something that you're like, oh, I can't make it to the shelter, or I can't sign up online, you know what? Day of the event, we are still taking registrations for it. Bring your pooches, bring your cats, bring them in a stroller, bring your kids. It's a fantastic, fun event, and we're very excited for it.
How did the event last Saturday go?
So went really, really good. I popped over there for a little bit. I don't know what the end total is for what they fundraised, but I do know that it was a really good event. There were lots of kids there, lots of families there. Overall, just a beautiful day for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it really was. Very cool. Very cool. Madison, thank you for putting up with my questions and hanging out with us and everything. And we always appreciate you stopping by. If people want to learn more about Padfoot, God, I love that name. people want to learn more about the wonderful friend of ours, Padfoot, how can they learn more?
Yeah, so he is available on our website. You can check him out at swchs.com and you can fill out an application or stop by the shelter to meet him. There are no appointments needed for cat room appointments. So if you want to just stop by and see him, you're more than welcome to. Otherwise, you can give us a call over at the shelter for more information at 715-423-0505.
And keep that number and that location in mind, everybody, because there are things you guys could use over there, wet cat food, that kind of thing.
We are in desperate need of kitten wet food right now. It is still kitten season, mm-hmm. even though that summer is ending. We are still in full swing of kitten season. I think it was just the other day, we just had another mom and newborn kittens brought in, so we are still, they're still coming in.
If you can, everybody, we greatly appreciate you doing that. Please reach out to the Humane Society, and you can find out more at swchs.com, swchs.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great follow. We're looking forward to next Thursday already, Madison. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more Morning Show right here at WFHR. Oh, man. Every time this comes on, it like the mannequin and the ending of the movie Mannequin pops in my head every single time.
Yes, you know it.
And there are certain movies that will never be remade. Like as much as like there, I wouldn't be surprised if they remade Gone with the Wind more than Mannequin. I would be more shocked if they redid Mannequin than if they did Gone with the Wind.
Oh man, it's you're so right. But at the same time, Kim Cattrall, you know
Kim Cattrall, and Chicago's own and Steppenwolf's own Mikayla Taylor. Who would end up on Designing Women and everything.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was one of the founders of Steppenwolf.
Yeah, that's right. I remember you saying that. So, hey, man, you got to go where the work is.
God, my brain. You're right. Oh, yeah, especially in the 80s.
Yeah.
The 80s, you didn't have a whole lot of choices.
Remember when we thought Andrew McCarthy was a leading man? I'm telling you. I don't know. What were we doing in the 80s, man? I don't know.
Steve Gutenberg. Steve Gutenberg, man. Steve Gutenberg.
poor Steve Gutenberg.
Speaking of the 80s, Sean Penn is where we start.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Did not plan that.
No, that was very organic.
Sean Penn has a very simple question he'd like the universe to answer. I can't even do this with a straight face. How come Will Smith can smack a guy and get away with it and he can't? In a new interview with Variety, Sean was complaining that the Oscars didn't want Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky on this year's broadcast because he wasn't, quote, lighthearted enough. Not because they didn't want to get political, but because they didn't want, it was too serious.
He's too sad? Yeah. Oh, wow.
But he added, quote, well, guess what you got instead? Will Smith. So this was last year.
Yeah,
that
right.
Last year. So they didn't want Vladimir, and then they had the whole Will Smith thing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Then he said, quote, why the blank did you just spit on yourself and everybody else with this stupid thing? Why did I go to jail for what you just did? And you're still there. Why are you guys standing and applauding his worst moment as a person? Sean has referred to the time he got he got arrested for punching a movie extra in the face in 87.
Yep.
And he said the situation at the Oscars made him so angry that he wanted to destroy the two that he'd won, the two Oscars he'd won. Instead, he went to Ukraine and gave one to Zelensky.
Okay. Wait a minute. Is that a good thing, then? I don't know. Zelensky is like, wait, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, whatever.
I got to go back out to the front lines now.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Just chuck it at a Russian? What am I going to do with this thing?
They are pretty heavy, but still.
True, true. quote, I thought, well, I'll give them to Ukraine. They can be melted down to bullets. They can shoot at Russians. Jeez.
Doesn't know what bullets are made, apparently.
No, he doesn't. This is the problem with Sean Penn in many ways. I think that there's a lot of things, not a lot of things, maybe. I think if you laid out Sean Penn and you had him as a pie chart, there's going to be a certain percentage that almost all of us can be like, yeah, that's cool. Sean Penn, during Katrina, is out there. He didn't bring a camera crew. He didn't bring his publicist or anything. He was just literally out there helping people.
Right.
Almost any natural disaster that has happened in the last 20 years, Sean Penn is out there doing whatever he can do with his two hands, getting in the dirt, literally doing things and stuff. And who's got a problem with that? Especially... Yeah. You know, one thing that I will champion the rest of my life, even if it is a cause that I am not in favor of, is taking your status and doing something good with it.
Right, right.
I think Sean Penn has done a fairly decent job at that. But then he does this other stuff, man. It's just like, what the what?
It seems, it's so weird. It's been, it's 1987. That happened in 19... Yeah, and I know he got in trouble for it, as he should have.
Yes.
You don't treat people like that. You don't hit people. No, I'm sorry, Sean, why are you getting upset about it? It sounds like he still thinks he shouldn't have gotten punished for that. Like he's like, that guy deserved it that I punched him in the face.
He has not let this go. He has not let this go. The only person bringing this up is Sean Penn.
I know. No one cares anymore.
And for this is the other thing, again, on that pie chart thing, where he comes across as, wow, he's a pretty intelligent guy. And he's obviously a very good actor in all this. And then he says some boneheaded stuff like this. Like, you couldn't see more in your bone bubble.
Yeah.
Sean, gigantic difference between these. First, legally, Chris Rock chose not to,
he could have.
He could have.
Press charges. He could have.
He chose not to press charges. So right there, end of discussion.
Yep.
The guy that Sean Penn hit decided to press charges.
Exactly.
That was also a completely different situation.
Completely different, yeah.
I don't know what he's doing there.
So, Sean Penn, you know what? Just act. Maybe direct a movie. He's a pretty good director. Yeah. Just stop giving interviews.
Not to mention, to the people, say there's some people out there that were fans of his to a degree or whatever and didn't know about this, because there's got to be a portion of people that didn't. To Seth's point, this was in 87.
1987. This was a long time ago. Let it go, Sean. Let it go.
Speaking of the 80s, Stranger Things. It's a perfect segue.
It's a perfect segue, man. Yeah. Awesome.
You can now have a taste of the Upside Down from Stranger Things with a new line of ice cream inspired by the Scoops Ahoy shop in season 3. That one that Steve and Robin worked at, if you watch the season, if you watch the show.
Okay, sure.
There's even a flavor called The Void that has activated charcoal, so it's black in color. There's 6 other flavors: USS Butterscotch, Triple Decker Extravaganza, Chocolate Pudding, Cinnamon Bun Bites, Mint Flare, and Pineapple Upside Down. It's currently and exclusively sold at Walmart in 14-ounce containers for about $5. So at least it's not expensive. At least it's not, like that kind of
super
thing.
Bad. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's not bad. I am, you had me at new ice cream, combinations. I will try it at least. I like this, the charcoal, the
dark. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
And the cinnamon bun bites, that doesn't sound too bad either.
Sounds pretty fascinating.
This one to me, you're going to market your stuff.
It's going to happen.
Everybody's going to have T-shirts or, maybe if you're a Marvel thing, you're going to have superheroes and, action figures.
Action figures, comic books, all that stuff. Yeah, right.
But the other half is trying to find new ways to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. We talk about it every couple of weeks. KFC comes out with, clothes, that kind of thing.
Perfume or something like that. Yeah.
It's not meant to KFC's trying to get into the perfume game. No.
No.
They're just trying something fun here, something different.
Throw get it their up. Name out. There. Yeah. That's what it's for.
I don't begrudge companies from doing this.
Yeah.
What I want is I want to be a fly on the wall in these marketing rooms. That's what I want.
That would be fascinating, wouldn't it?
God, I'd love it. Oh, I'd love
Man.
It.
Man.
I'd just sit back and eat my popcorn. Just watch.
Oh, this is great. This was better than the third season of that boardroom,
Exactly. Yes. I thought this was kind of interesting and a nice way to kind of wrap up the big entertainment topics. Pearl Jam guitarist Mike McCready, who is amazing, is working on a rock opera about the Seattle grunge scene, and he says it was inspired by and honors the late Chris Cornell.
Wow.
Quote, I look at him as one of the greatest singers and songwriters of all time, aside from being a friend. Mm-hmm. The project is just from my experience in the Seattle music scene, and he's part of it. He says he might also turn it into a stage play.
Wow.
Mike McCready is unfortunately kind of gotten lost in the shuffle of Pearl Jam with the giganticness of Eddie Vedder.
Right.
And I don't even begrudge that. And I've never heard any of the guys begrudge it either.
No.
I think Eddie Vedder would like it different. I don't think Eddie Vedder likes the
spotlight. He's not a big fan of it, I don't think.
No. But I think in a perfect world, we would all, Mike McCready would be as famous as Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
Just like at Jeff Ament. Jeff Ament, amazing bass player.
Yep.
And both those guys help with the songwriting. Mm-hmm. It's not all Eddie Vedder.
No.
So I have no doubt that he could do this if he has the time and energy to. And when's the last good rock opera?
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at the silence right there. Yeah.
715-424-2600. I don't think that we've seen musicals succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that the musical idea, that format can't survive anymore. I think you've just got to have the right stuff, the right thing. It can't be Spider-Man in the dark.
I was going to go there too. That's awful. turn off the dark, by the way.
Turn off the
Get
dark.
It right, yeah, man. Yeah, come on.
I need to have some respect. Now, for everyone that didn't work, like Elton John and Tim Rice tried to do this, and it didn't quite work.
Pan out, yeah.
But Billy Joel's worked for a while.
Yeah, there was actually, I think, like two musicals of his that were out at one time. They did all right, yeah.
Carole King's did very well.
Did very well, yeah. Won some Tony Awards, yeah.
So there's certainly a market for this. There's mm-hmm. a genre for this. And my God, if you're talking about a subject matter mm-hmm. that is going to get not only our generation, for sure, you're going to easily make your money back in our generation, let alone the younger generation has really gotten into 90s music.
That's true. That's true. It's kind of the cycle has repeated itself again like it tends to do. I think he's actually one of the better people to do this because Pearl Jam was always the more arena rock
group.
The big statement, the big kind of bombastic one of all the grunge groups. You know, they all had their little niche and stuff like that. They were the big one. You know, we're the arena rock team. And I think he's the one. If they're going to do a rock opera, he can pull it off because of where they came from and the kind of music they played.
If you take the main core of big name Seattle bands, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Nirvana.
Yeah.
I don't think it is far-fetched, and I think it is a close race, but I do not think it is far-fetched to say Chris Cornell was the most talented of all of those artists.
I think you could say that, yeah.
I love Kurt Cobain. Mm-hmm. I miss Kurt Cobain all the time.
Yep.
Kurt Cobain would have told you that Chris Cornell was the more talented singer, mm-hmm. was the more talented songwriter even.
Yep.
I don't think Eddie Vedder has gone on the record of saying that even before Chris Cornell passed away.
Right.
You could listen to Outshined. Just listen to that one song and you will hear what I'm talking about mm-hmm. if you didn't already know. So I love the idea of kind of that being one of the centerpieces of this play, honoring that. It's also just an amazing story. Like the whole Seattle sound, and you couldn't...
Yeah.
It wasn't as if a bunch of producers sat down and said, you know what, we're going to make this grunge thing big.
Yeah, no.
It takes the people to do that. The people did that. And that still happens all the time in society, but it never gets old to me.
Right.
All these marketing executives, all these people paid millions of dollars and everything to come up with what the new sound is or what people are going to dig and all this and this. And it still comes back to the same thing it always has. What do we decide?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. I think that an opera about that and about all of this, it would be really interesting.
You know, the idea, because that seems to be kind of a lost. I mean, you know, people like you said, have been picking up the music again. But that whole scene, except for us, you know, the people who lived it, we're the only ones talking about it, like doing that. By the way, I got to put it, you know, because there is the Wisconsin connection, of course. Nirvana was Nevermind was produced by Butch Vig.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my contribution here. If they do a show, James Maloff should go for the Butch Vig role because you'd pull it off. Yeah,
I'd definitely do that.
Very similar facial hair. So
I go for that. Right on. I would love that. I'm all in. I did want to also mention that this is also coming from a band that did Mother Love Bone.
The band before, they were,
Temple of the Dog.
Yep.
That was in honor of Mother Love Bone and the singer that they lost.
Right. And that was, and then all of them, I mean, so many bands came from Mother Love Bone. There was guys from all that came and all did different ended up in different groups in the Seattle scene. Yeah.
So they've got a history of doing kind of honoring fallen musicians from that area. They've done it before.
Yep.
So I think that there was a great Lucinda Williams, I just remembered too, a tribute album to her as well that raised money for her and everything. That's got like a bunch of Seattle artists covering her songs and all that. It's a great album.
Tremendous songwriter, by the way. Yeah. Lucinda Williams, one of the best.
Great songwriter. Mm-hmm. We got a couple programming notes wanted to get to. First off, Trail Tunes.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
Wiscountry, 105.5 WIRI. 7 to 8, listen to the best in cowboy music and south of the border stuff and western songs. It's all there, so check it out, everyone.
Be sure to join us for that every Thursday at 7, right on Wiscountry, 105.5 WIRI. And, of course, our weekend programs are all lined up and ready to go, except for this weekend.
We have to remind you for that one, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, we are your home for your Wisconsin Badgers football team. Mm-hmm. And we've got the Badgers, as we have for a decade, had the Badgers on. And we got an early game this week. Our pregame will start at 9 a.m. with the Badgers hosting Georgia Southern.
Yep.
That traditional rivalry going at... No. It should be a good game.
It should, yeah.
With that being early, of course, there will be no over-the-back fence on Saturday.
Just got to remind everyone of that. So save your stuff for the next week, the 23rd, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we'll get back to it. But, yep, because of the Badgers this week, no over-the-back fence.
So that's here at WFHR. On WIRI, tomorrow, high school football.
Yeah.
Football. Lincoln High School hosting Hortonville. Horton going to hear a loss.
That was a laugh of both badness and actually, yes. I got to give you credit. That was pretty good. Pretty good.
LHS hosted Hortonville. Our pregame will start at 6:40. Michael Cromer doing the call on this one. Michael going to do it.
That's very cool. I love that we're expanding it a little bit because, of course, Randy can't do them all. And to have more people do it, that's really cool. Yeah,
we are on the lookout for more people that are interested in that. And we're always curious about it. You can reach out to me, james.mailov@civicmedia.us. We do have a new team member that will be there tomorrow with you, Seth, producing that game.
That's right. Katie will be joining me. She's doing a little training right now. And she's going to kind of be I don't want to say replacing Don because,
we can't be done with Don. Yeah.
But she will be taking over for a lot of the stuff that he did. So that's really cool. A new team member, too.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. And appreciate you covering the game and doing the great production you do with that. We'll be back more after Melissa's news right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Serious comedy, start your day. God, I love that distortion. We were just talking about the Seattle sound, a little Sonic Youth for you right there.
Big influence on the Seattle sound,
You don't have it without them.
No. Nope.
You just don't have that, any of the Seattle. What made the Seattle sound so so original was part of this, this distorted guitar kind of sound. And so much of it stems from Sonic Youth.
Yes, absolutely.
We're talking toys now.
All right, finally, let's get there.
Yeah, this is what Seth has been waiting all morning for. The National Toy Hall of Fame revealed the 12 finalists for its 2023 class. And once again, your favorite childhood toy, illegal fireworks, are not in there. No, I'm not being joking. The finalists this year are a bag of glass. Hey, I got this bag of glass right here. No. God, I love that sketch.
Big, big oily rags.
Hey, we got
What kid wouldn't want this?
Hey, look at it. It's fun. He looks at it. He's like, oh, but look, the rags are funny. They smell weird, you know? The finalists this year are baseball cards.
Ooh.
The board game Battleship.
Okay.
Bingo.
Whoa, Bingo's not in already? Mm. Okay, interesting.
Bop It. Cabbage Patch Kids.
Hmm.
Choose Your Own Adventure game books.
Oh, my gosh.
Connect Four.
That's a good one.
And Mattel's Ken. So Barbie's already in.
Ken is not in.
But Ken is not in.
There might be a big swelling of Ken just because of the movie this year. Ken might be getting in this year.
Yeah. The Little Tykes Cozy Coupe, the classic red car with the yellow roof.
Mm-hmm.
Nerf toys. Slime. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wow, that's a cool list, man.
The winners will be voted on by toy industry experts, plus public voting at museumofplay.org. That's museumofplay.org. Throughout the next week, three of the 12 toys will wind up getting inducted. They'll be announced on November 9th.
Nice.
Bingo and Nerf were also nominated last year, but they didn't make the cut. The three that did make it in last year were Light Bright, Masters of the Universe, and the top, the toy you
the regular top. Yep. Yeah.
So I encourage people to get on over there and check this out. Again, museumofplay.org. For one, it's just a fun thing to kind of look through.
Absolutely.
And everything.
Strong museum, yes.
But get in on this voting.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I vote on it every year.
Yep, yep.
Last year, I did vote for the Light Bright to get in, and it did. But that was the only one that I voted for that got in. I would love to see them expand this to like one or two more things.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like the way they do this.
Yeah.
Because so many, like how, like you said it on, how does bingo not get in?
Yeah, right.
Well, because they're only taking the three.
That's true.
And it keeps this going longer and longer. And I think it keeps the nostalgia vibe going longer
and
longer.
Well, they do. They usually every year they do a good mix because like the top last year was, you know, like a very classic toy that hadn't gotten in yet. And they do that every year. They pick a couple of way back ones along with some of the newer ones. And, you know, I don't know if they have like a certain criteria for how long it has to be, you know, on the market or anything like that. But they have a good mix, you know, like choose your own adventure books. I wouldn't even have thought of that, but they're kind of like a game, you know. So, totally with them on that.
715-424-2600, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Which would you include, or would you go off the list? You got a toy that you want included that's off the list.
That needs to get on there,
So let's you and I play, Seth.
Right, let's do it, all right.
For me, easily, number one with a bullet, Choose Your Own Adventure books.
I'd have to go with that, too, because I remember how much I enjoyed those books growing up. Really, man.
Those were game changers for me.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Big time.
For someone who wasn't a big reader, that must have been huge.
Oh. I love, one of the things I like about video games is I beat the game and I'm done with it. No. I like the games where you just get more and more and more from them and everything. I love those books because even for, 2-3 reads and you can get new stories.
Mm-hmm.
You could constantly have your story changing. There's only so many variables, but
of course.
As a kid, that was amazing to me. It was like a TV show in my book. It was something different that I'd never read anything like it before. It blew up my mind and my imagination, and I just loved those books so much.
I'm with you on that one.
And because I have the father I do, I will include baseball cards. Because as Seth brought up earlier, I'm trying to move up on the will.
Yep, got to put that in there. Okay.
I do think baseball cards belong in there.
They do. I don't know. I doubt they'll get in this year, but they'll eventually get in, I think.
The versatility that now we don't do this anymore, really. Or maybe kids still do. I don't know. It wasn't just that they were fun for collecting and trading and all that.
Right.
You could use them as sound effects.
On your bike.
Yeah. How many great baseball cards were just lost to that?
My favorite story about that is the great pitcher Bill Lee, the spaceman, was talking about that when he was talking about baseball cards. And he's like, well, we didn't do that when we were kids. Here I go. I've got this Mickey Mantle rookie card. I'm going to put it in my bike because it makes me sound like I'm going faster. So there I am going down the road, $5,200 right down the drain.
That's good. I never heard that before. That's good. Who would you, out of this list, who would you like to include?
For near and dear to my heart, I did have some Ninja Turtle toys.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, and I loved the cartoon. I think I'd vote for the Ninja Turtles in there.
Yeah.
The books, I think, would be also in there. And then, let's see. Oh, boy, I'm trying to remember some of the other ones that were on the list. They make it a pretty big list.
Nerf toys, slime, bingo, Bop It, Battleship, Cabbage Patch Kids, Connect Four.
Boy, you know, of all those, boy, because it's also board games, I would put Connect Four in there. That one's still around. People still like playing Connect Four.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I would throw that in there, too.
I think because it's just a matter of time, with my third selection, I'm going to take Nerf toys. But I want to take either Cabbage Patch Kids or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But the reason I would take those is because of their impact on pop culture.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to do that, then you got to look at Nerf.
Nerf is big. Still, it's huge.
Think of these things that have become like actual terminology for the product when it's the product's name, like Band-Aid or something
Kleenex,
like that.
Kleenex,
yeah. Nerf did that with the toy game.
Which is amazing, yeah.
It really is impressive. Mm-hmm. If you step back and look at it, and if you know about, you know, even a little bit about marketing and all that, like what they pulled off there.
Amazing.
Very impressive.
Yeah, very cool.
You got kids to find a toy. You got kids and parents to find a toy that they're okay with shooting at each other and it being safe.
Which is amazing.
I don't know if it's gotten better or worse or whatever, but as far as that, there was a point in when we were growing up where they had like firearms that shoot these like
they
multiple
still do.
Bullets
they
and everything
still do.
Like that. And,
yeah, you know, they still make them,
and they got away with it because of Nerf.
Yeah,
you know, and everybody, even if you you don't know the science of what the Nerf product is made of or anything, you Nerf. I trust that. That's safe.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I can fly into my kid's eye and it'll be okay. I mean, that's what we do.
Way better than lawn darts.
Yeah. Oh, God. That one, I've got a history with that.
Oh, no.
My cousin Lisa, who is like a sister to me, who I love to death, just celebrated the birthday last month, were at my Nan and Papa's house with lawn darts.
Oh, boy.
And they warned the kids. They warned all of us kids. You know, when somebody's playing, keep an eye out, watch out and everything. Well, kids are kids, too. And I, like being the serious little kid I was, I wanted to hang with the adults, so I got to play lawn darts. They let me play with them. And this is like it happened 2 minutes ago, man. I had a red dart in my hand. I even remember the color. And as I'm releasing and letting it go, I see my cousin Lisa walking.
No!
And it hits her right below the eye.
Oh.
Right below the eye. And she's got a little tiny scar there. And for the rest of my life, not her, she doesn't give me a hard time with this. Every single member of my family, I could win an Oscar, and I the first thing they would say to me, Jimmy, nice Oscar. It doesn't have a scar like your cousin does, though. Those darn lawn darts, man.
See, that's why they were taken off the market. Mm. Even though we knew that they weren't safe, and we tried, it's still people got hurt. So, that's why we had to take them away.
They should have made Nerf darts.
There you go. See?
Yeah. It's somehow stick in the ground.
I don't know how that would work, but, you know.
Museumofplay.org is where you want to go for this. And again, 424-2600, what would you include? What would you have in there?
Yeah.
I think that one of the cool things about this, too, is that they... If yours don't get in, you keep going with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll go in next
year
or something like that.
They do it every year.
The Cabbage Patch doll, I think I'm a little surprised that's not in there already, just because a lot of the people that are doing this were of that generation.
Right, right.
There's big, you know, there's a gigantic toy, and then there's one that caused riots.
Yeah. Like, it's happened a few times, but that was like the first one. And I think we were a little on the young end for the Cabbage Patch because
yes,
I don't remember much about it.
I do a little bit.
It was like
bit.
Early 80s, and I was still too young to understand what was going on at that point. So, but you heard the stories, you know, even through the late 80s and stuff about, wow, it was so crazy because people were like getting into fights and stuff like that.
I seen my dad win a lightweight belt in boxing. I seen my dad win a championship in hockey, in lower levels, of course, obviously. I don't know if I've ever saw my father more triumphant than when he came home from Kmart with a Cabbage Patch doll for my daughter. My sister. Like he won
crazy.
The Super Bowl, man.
Yeah.
That's like one of my vague memories of that. If we're looking for silver linings, as far as like a lot of our shopping being done online nowadays, is this one of them?
Like, safer?
Yeah. I mean, the Tickle Me Elmo thing, I think, is the last time I can think of something like this happening.
Yeah.
But even Black Friday, which used to be such a devastation, and, you know, we'd always have injuries and craziness, even that's calmed down a bit.
A little bit. Yeah, it has.
If we're looking for silver linings about that stuff, that might be one of them. I don't know.
Maybe our marketers sad about that? Because think about it. If they had, like, fights break out, that was, like gold for them. Marketing gold, right?
I guarantee they're sad about it, yeah. Again, museumofplay.org is where you want to go. Museumofplay.org.
I actually do want to go there someday. I believe it's in Rochester, New York. Somewhere in upstate New York.
Yep.
And that not only is it, that also has the Video Game Hall of Fame in there as well, which is, oh, man, that would be so cool.
I want to go to both of them, but especially the Video Game Hall of Fame. I want to go there for sure. And we'll come back to this story in November when they have their choices.
Yeah, maybe. Very cool.
We'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A.
Seth and James here with you in our Model A.
Yeah.
Bopping around, enjoying.
Love that song.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
One more segment for you, everybody, before we're done for the day. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Terry John's going to be in with us tomorrow to get you ready for your weekend. It's going to be a fun one. We're looking forward to that. And Terry and I are going to be joined by Mike Clemens, our head of sports here at Civic Media.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Mike is going to join us for a couple of minutes to preview the Green Bay-Atlanta game coming up this Sunday. Sunday. That's going to be fun. And be sure to join us today from 3 to 4 for Midday Magazine. In part one, we're going to speak with our good friend, Jim Benna. He is the district administrator of Ed Hewer Elementary School principal over in Port Edward School District.
Nice.
Going to catch up with him, see how the new school year is going.
Yeah, very good.
And our friend, Jasmine Carbajal, is going to join us in part two, 4-H associate educator with Marathon of Wood Counties. We're talking 4-H in part two.
Woo. Good stuff.
Gonna be fun. Looking forward to it. We kick this segment off with a That Ain't Right story.
Okay.
And, yeah, this is funny. A California woman arrived at her home early Wednesday to discover a bear had broken in and raided the refrigerator. Chelsea said she arrived home in the early hours and discovered the side door of her Sierra Madre house was open. She called 911 after looking through the window and seeing the fridge was open and food was scattered all over the place.
Oh, no. Whoa. Had to pause there.
I think that's the fourth time that's ever happened.
Yeah, it's happening the last couple of weeks. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sneezing on air here.
Am I allergic to odds? To That Ain't Right stories?
Maybe you are. I don't know.
The Sierra Madre Police Department said officers responded to the 911 call shortly before 2 a.m. and confirmed that there was indeed a bear inside the home. Police secured the area and waited outside the home for the bear to leave. And she says, she says it's a fun, quote, fun home invasion, and at least it's a story for my anniversary. Because she was getting ready to celebrate their anniversary.
Oh,
when
no.
All this happened and everything.
Wow.
Police said the bear ended up leaving the house on his own before wildlife officers arrived. Residents were warned to avoid the area until authorities confirmed the animal is no longer in the neighborhood.
Right.
Now, I think that, you know, and you can, you know, use the play at home version and decide what you think that ain't right part of this story is. To me, it's not so much that he broke in, it's the mess.
Yeah.
You know, leave him, you know, shut the door behind you, bear. Huh? We're not trying to you know, cool the whole outside here and everything. Shut the door. You can't leave the refrigerator door open.
No.
It's just the one thing you can't do, bear.
It's just rude, man. Yeah, yeah, so rude.
It's one thing to break in and steal the food and all that. That ain't right. But at least shut the door.
You know, and maybe I think the bear was just a little bit confused, okay, because it was too busy looking for that picnic basket.
Hey, boo-boo, where is that picnic basket? I love that. That's a great joke. That was good. Ooh, that another goes. We get into some good stories of the day. Our eagle is flying up above us.
Oh, the eagle's soaring above us.
That thing is so magnificent.
Yes.
That is a beautiful looking bird right there. We've got some other good local good stuff we want to get to, Seth. And you got our first one here.
Yeah, we just had an ad actually on the last break that we heard about this. It's the All of Us Wisconsin. They are doing a medical research today over in Marshfield at the Marshfield Clinic. You can help advance medical research today. It started at 8 this morning, goes until about 5 o'clock. Call 888-633-9987 for more information or go to marshfield.joinallofus.org to sign up for that. Not only do you get to help advance medical science today, you can also get a $25 gift card plus a free DNA report with tailored, actionable, and health-related other reports as well. So you don't go way in. Not only are you helping medical science, you're also helping yourself in the long run. So it's a very cool opportunity. They do it all the time. They set up appointments just so you know, but they're doing a drive right now. So today is a good day. If you want to know more, you can go online or call that number, 888-633-9987.
Got Maple Fest going on in Marshfield, the 16th through the 17th at Wildwood Park and Zoo from 7 to 4. Be sure to check that out.
Maple, James.
Oh,
Maple Fest.
I need to be there. I need to take in all this, and I will meet you there. It's going to be a really fun event. Join our friends in Marshfield for that wonderful event.
Mm-hmm.
Fall into Switched to Fall Craft Show going on from 9 to 3 as well.
Nice.
Keep those in mind, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
And, of course, going on right now as we speak, our local farmers market here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. Enjoy fresh flowers, locally grown fruits and veggies, baked goods, free activities for kids. This goes on every Thursday and Saturday from 8 to 2 at First Avenue South between West Grand Avenue and Goggin Street.
Gorgeous day today.
It's a perfect
enjoy
day.
Enjoy it. Yeah, nice fall day.
Not only are you going to be able to get outside and enjoy all that, but you are buying local, supporting local, helping mm-hmm. our ag industry, helping our farmers and these yep. vendors, and getting some of the best produce in the state.
Of course.
I mentioned that Terry John's going to join us tomorrow, CEO mm-hmm. of your United Way of South Wood and Adams Counties. They are seeking and they are looking for all hands on deck. We're looking for people to help with our great event that goes on every year, Rake Day of Caring.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking for volunteers and team leaders that can they can register online at uwswac.org. Be sure to register to volunteer early and receive a free T-shirt.
Woo!
We got to press her on this tomorrow. We got to find out the color.
Yes, sure. Well, I want to see what the color is this year. Yeah.
They are big also news. Currently accepting registration from local elderly and disabled individuals who wish to have their yards raked by volunteers during Day of Caring.
Yeah.
To register to have your yard raked, give them a call at 715-421-0390. It's 421-0390. And speak to a 211 resource specialist. You want to call between 8 and 5, Monday through Friday. Be sure to get that call in because Terry and her team have a goal this year of raking 100 lawns.
That's great.
We got to get it done.
So if you're on the fence about this, just put it in there. We want to rake your thing. We got lots of people that want to help out. So let's give them something to do
on the fence.
We're
talking about yards.
That's right. Yeah.
And that was good. That was good. I like that. That made my heart sick.
That was deliberate though. So that you can't.
UWSWAC.org. Be sure to go ahead and go check that out, everybody. And we are talking about this with our friend Madison. The 5K9 walk run for the Southwood County Maine Society going on Saturday, September 23rd, over at the Red Sands Shelter House. This registration will begin at 8, and the race itself will start at 9. Raffles, bake sale, pledge prizes, merch for sale.
Woo.
Go out there, support our Humane Society, and have a good time while you're at it.
Nice.
And we, of course, here at WFHR, the home of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters,
mm-hmm.
Roll Rats, already looking forward to next season.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to wait until next season to get on over to Witter Field. They have off-the-clock event going on. Network with the Heart of Wisconsin, September 18th from 4 to 7. I'm going to have Kill the Keg, free food, 50-50 raffle, music. Check out the Craft River Locker Room, Rat Trap Press Box.
Mm.
If you are a Rafter fan and you have not had a chance to check out any of
all
these
cool things.
This is your opportunity. It's open to the public, free to attend. Must be 18 to attend. All attendees will be required to show a form of identification.
Yep.
And again, this is going on, of course, at 521 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids, right there at beautiful Winter Field, legendary Winter Field.
You see stuff you don't usually get to see during the year. That's kind of mm-hmm. cool, yeah.
And how cool is it going to be to have those snapshots in your head when the regular season comes in?
That's a good point.
And when you're sitting there in the stands, it'll give you something to talk about with the people. Hey, you know what?
I was in the press box. Yeah.
You know that the locker room? Let me tell you about it.
Smells bad. Smells bad. Wow.
All of this, along with our friends at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, and join them for Off the Clock going on September 18th from 4 to 7. And, of course, encourage you to go to wiscountry.com/chicken. Get in on the name in the chicken contest. Keep on listening for your opportunity to win shirts with our new logos and mm-hmm. stickers and stuff. And I wanted to end on this story, Seth.
Okay.
You know, us being dads, I think we'll both enjoy this one.
All right,
one.
Cool.
A dad in the UK just reclaimed the record for most tattoos of the same name. After getting his daughter's name, Lucy, tattooed on his body 667 times.
What? Wow.
He originally set it in 2017 with 267, but a 27-year-old American named Diego, Deandra, broke the record after getting her own name tattooed on herself 300 times.
That's kind of weird.
That's really cringy.
Your own name? Really?
Like even okay. once. So he got 400 Lucy's on his leg to really take over this.
Yeah, right.
Way to go, Dad, and you got bragging rights, man. That's it.
Yeah, it makes more sense if it's not your own name.
Yeah. Seth, great show. Have a great day.
You too, man.
Have a good one out there. We'll meet you back here tomorrow and get you ready for the weekend right on the morning show at...
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.